Thank you, Michelle. Join me in a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, when I was a young man, I do sort of remember when I was young, but it was a long time ago. It was about the same time that Pontius got his pilot's license. All right, it's a corny old joke, but it is free. And like many young people, I enjoyed a good argument. On one occasion, I was introduced to a young man who was hoping to become a Roman Catholic priest. He was very sincere, very enthusiastic, and with a pleasant manner. But we didn't quite see eye to eye on certain issues. For example, he was convinced that the church had an answer for every possible ethical question that could arise. And politely explained that much cleverer people than he, or yours truly, had considered every conceivable moral dilemma and knew all the answers. So, if we mere mortals had a problem, we could simply refer the matter to the intellectual superiors in the church. But to me, that then and now, the idea that when we are faced with a question of conscience, the correct course of action has already been decided by the church's intellectual elite and is set in stone, it doesn't quite make sense. What, for example, should a person do when we're faced with having to make an on-the-spot decision with no time to seek advice or guidance from some learned person? Well, to modify the song from the cartoon film Pinocchio, we should always let your Christian conscience be your guide. Now, I'm not taking a pop at Roman Catholicism or that nice young man. I'm sure if he eventually was ordained, he would have become a good priest. And of course, it's quite right that the church should carefully and prayerfully consider ethical issues from a Christian perspective and offer advice and guidance. No, it's not that. It's just that today's reading from Paul's letter to the fledgling church in Corinth reminded me of my discussion all those years ago. Because Paul, at the beginning of the chapter 2, recalls how he shared the good news of our Christian faith with the people of Corinth as he worked to establish a church there. For he says, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Continuing, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And the reason Paul took this approach? So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. To Paul, Christianity was not just a set of ideas, a philosophy based on human understanding. And how right he was. Of course, the logic of Christ's message is irrefutable. And for myself, I have yet to meet anyone who could successfully argue against the perfect sense of Christ's teaching. Unfortunately, it's perfectly possible to agree in your head with the truths in the Bible and still not understand or appreciate God's awesome power and our lowly position in relation to our loving Heavenly Father. All we should aspire to is to be His children. And just like when parents say to a small child, "Take my hand," and just as the child is happy to place their trust in mummy or daddy, we also have to put our complete trust, our faith in God our Father, and believe with both our head and our heart in Jesus and all that he stands for. And this belief, this trust, doesn't depend on whether a person has a brain the size of a planet or not. After all, in comparison to God's wisdom, we are all pretty dim. And let's not forget, our God is a loving God. So he would have hardly sent his son to this world with a message of salvation, which he did, with a message of salvation, could only be understood by the so-called clever people. The fact is, Jesus was and still is able to communicate with all of humanity equally well. And as a result, some people from every walk of life, every race, nationality, age, colour, educational achievement, intelligence, and they're not the same education and intelligence, or gender, and from anywhere and everywhere, have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And I'm sure we've all met some people whose simple faith shines brightly, and others who are regarded as members of the intellectual elite, but their faith also shines brightly. And that's something all Christians should have in common, a faith that shines brightly. We are, after all, children in God's family, enjoying the same inheritance. And that's how we need to see ourselves in relation to God our Father. We are simply his children. Children in who he has been, to whom he has breathed life. We are his creation. Therefore, we should approach him with complete humility. Not fooling ourselves into thinking that we can ever understand or explain the mind of our Creator, who, remember, is also the creator of the entire universe. But that doesn't mean to say that we have to be completely in the dark. Jesus is, after all, the light of the world. And as Paul says in the Voice translation, beginning at verse 6, in the presence of mature believers, in other words, believing Christians, in the presence of mature believers, we do impart true wisdom, continuing not the phony wisdom typical of this rebellious age or of the hostile powers who rule this age. And, you know, come to think of it, nothing much has changed over the last 2,000 years. There's still plenty of phony wisdom and hostility, not to mention ridicule and criticism, with comments like God botherers, Bible bashers, holy Joes, and claims that all Christians are hypocritical, judgmental, and intolerant. Well, they're often made those claims. The fact is, all Christians on occasions fail to live up to Christ's standard. But anyone who tries to reject Christianity because of our behaviour just proves their complete misunderstanding of Jesus' message. Their opinion is a good example of phony wisdom. Because being a Christian doesn't make you perfect. Remember, we've just confessed our sins in a different way than normal, but very moving way this morning. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. We are really just works in progress. And to suggest Christ's teaching is flawed because of our failure to obey the rules, well, that's a bit like saying, because criminals don't obey the law of the land, the law is at fault and should be rejected. In verse 10, Paul claims that God has shown us these profound and startling realities through his Spirit, emphasizing that it's not the spirit of this rebellious and broken world, but the spirit that comes from God, which has enabled Paul to experience and comprehend these gifts that come from God. And by the same token, Paul was able to share these profound truths with words crafted by that Spirit. And what, as a result, what Paul says will easily be understood by any who have the Spirit dwelling in them. And at the same time, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And isn't that so true? You meet another Christian for the first time, and your shared experience of knowing Jesus enables you to communicate immediately on, well, a different level, really. And in a way that others find difficult to follow. It's almost like two people discussing eating the pineapple in front of someone who has never seen or let alone tasted a pineapple. It's mumbo jumbo to them. Yes, Christianity to non-Christians is a mystery. So what are we to take away from today's reading? Can I suggest that just like fine words butter no parsnips, they won't do much to persuade our non-believing friends that Jesus is real? No more than whether you're clever or not too bright has anything to do with knowing Jesus. Therefore, if you're talking with a non-believer, don't worry about making clever arguments or trying to outsmart them. Just let the Holy Spirit guide your words and your actions, relying on God's power and wisdom, not your own. After all, God is powerful enough to have created us and the entire universe, including, as I say, us. Amen.